When you're here, or when you're reading the Word of God, try to take whatever it is that God focuses you in on, and hold on to that thought, and don't let it get taken away. So many of us have heard, and myself included, so many great teachings on the Word of God, and we let it all just... We never gave it a second thought, and we have been walking and doing without because we did not hold on to what God had presented before us and say, it's yours for the taking, and we stood there and watched the birds eat that seed that should have been in us, changing our life. Amen? Okay, now we're going to start the sermon. In the book of Romans it says, I just said all that so you... It's the polite way of saying, pay attention, which would have been rude. Now, in the book of Romans, it says that the law, which refers to the Ten Commandments of God, it says that the law condemns and kills. It says that the law was given as a teacher, and it teaches us about sin, meaning we are not perfect, and that's its job, is to stand there and go, here are things that you're not supposed to do, and I am standing here pointing out every time you make a mistake, the law says, I'm condemning you. I'm pointing it out saying, there, 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 there. So it teaches us about sin. It also teaches us about how holy our God is. He is so perfect that He never transgresses any law, any nuance, any of the finest points of the real law. He never, ever, ever transgresses. So the law is there to teach us who we are and what we are in relationship to this great and holy God. Now, there's one other little thing we need to put in there. This is just an aside or just a parenthesis. There was this guy I'm sure we've talked about before. His name was Pavlo. I don't know how you say it. Anyway, Pavlo had a dog. And every time Pavlo fed the dog, he would ring a bell. Feed the dog. And then the next time he'd put food out there for it, he'd ring the bell. And he just kept doing this over and over and over till finally the man never had to put the food out. He just... And the dog would start salivating. The dog would just start getting all slobbery. Not one bit of food there, just that sound would bring the reaction that Pavlo wanted that dog to have. It's called a conditioned response. Now, back to the sermon. If we go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, he's talking to us Christians, or verse 13, and he says, and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all of trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, put that in normal English, he says, once... There was a time when the law condemned you to death and said, you have failed on this point, this point, this point, and this point. The penalty for failure is death. He says, therefore, there was a time when you were dead in your sins, but Jesus quickened you or made you alive with Him. He has forgiven you of all your trespasses, past, present, and future. Whenever you came to Him and you said, I'm a sinner, I want you to forgive me of all my sins, I want you to forgive me of the fact that I'm even a sinner, He says, I've forgiven you of all your sins. He says, He puts that all away from us. Now, here is the point, is when those sins got put away from us, we were declared righteous by God. And we hear this all the time, but let me put it this way. Righteousness, once we become Christians, now before we became Christians, we are living under that condemnation of dead in our sins. But when we become Christians, our trespasses are wiped away. The board's clean. And we all say, yes, His righteousness. He gave us righteousness because He died in my place and He gave us righteousness. At that point, when we accept Him and we trust Him, we need to understand what it is saying in a more literal way. From that point we become Christians, it's not how we act that causes us to be righteous. It's because Jesus is righteous. It's not our action that brings our righteousness. It's Jesus is righteous because He died for all of our sins. He has forgiven us of all of our sins, shut them away. Now, He is our righteousness and He gives us His righteousness. That is a hard one to swallow, isn't it? I had somebody the other day said, you know, it was really hard whenever you said, God loves me and He'll never love me anymore because He only loves perfectly. And it was like, you could tell, that's a real head scratcher. But listen to what it says, and most of us don't actually pick up because we let them birds snatch this away from us. And you being dead in your sins, we got that, and the uncircumcision of your heart, He hath quickened us together with Him, we get that, having forgiven us of all of our trespasses, and we say, yes, that's the truth, yea, verily, that's truth, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. That's the part we just bold right on over because most of us don't pay attention. I didn't until somebody pointed out. We just jump right over that. What He is saying is blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us. What is the handwriting of ordinances? What's the only thing that God ever wrote down? There's only two. One thing that He wrote down was on the wall in Daniel that said, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsim, which basically means you've been weighed and found wanting and you're going to die tonight, guy. Loose translation. The other thing is actually what that handwriting is based on is those Ten Commandments. When you read in the book of Exodus, God Himself wrote the Ten Commandments with His own finger. God wrote those Ten Commandments. He didn't write any of the other stuff down. He told Moses to write it down. But those Ten Commandments that condemn us, that kill us, are the things that are the handwriting of ordinances that is against us. Everything in the law always stands against us saying, you're wrong, you did wrong, you did wrong, you did wrong, and we hear it every time it tells us, you're condemned, you're condemned, you're condemned, you're condemned, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And we hear that condemnation constantly till we actually start buying into it. But what does it say? Blotting out, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, and He nailed it to His cross. It's getting kind of crowded on that cross. We got Jesus on that cross. We got all the sins of every person who ever lived from the dawn of creation right on through to the last person is born and the end of this age stops and God blots out all sin quite literally, wipes it out. Then it says that He also nailed it to His cross. What's the it? He nailed the handwriting of the ordinances. He nailed the Ten Commandments to the cross and killed them too. How do you like that one? This is not easy stuff to grasp, but we need to accept it. Don't let the birds grab this now. When we were placed in Christ Jesus and our sins are washed away, our transgressions are forgiven, He nailed that law to the cross and says to us, now that you've trusted in me, the law is dead to you. The law is dead to you. As you stand before God, the law is dead. It's hard to say. So when you stand before God, the law is dead. Now when we read about Satan, the word Satan actually means the accuser. Satan is, in a court of law, if you ever have went, somebody is the plaintiff. That's the accuser. The plaintiff accuses you of something and says, Judge, he broke a law and points right at you. He broke a law. And I want you to apply that law to him, condemn him, and then exact punishment on him, take away that which I want him not to have, and give it to me, or in some cases, just kill the person. Do you see what happens here? The judge looks at us and says to that accuser, what law? All those other sinners out there are under the law. This person is in Christ Jesus, and this person, being in him, Christ nailed that law and killed that law for this individual. The only thing that this person, the only law that this person is under is the law of love, that we love God and that we trust God because we do love him and we love our neighbor. That's the basis of our behavior. But when we stand before God, he says, this guy broke the law. God says, what law? That's why this title of this sermon is called, Tell Him to Get a Lawyer. We've got a lawyer who stands beside us. His name is Paraclete, not Parakeet, Paraclete, which is the Holy Spirit. And his job is to plead our case. I don't know if you've ever been sued. I've been sued. At that point, you get yourself a good lawyer. And if that person who's complaining against you, who is accusing you of absolutely anything, you tell him, sir, I've got a lawyer. Talk to my lawyer. Anytime that person comes to you and talks to you, you say, shut up. Talk to my lawyer. I'm not talking to you. I will not receive a word from you. I will not take a note from you. I will not take a phone call from you. I will not accept a letter from you. I have nothing to do with you. You take and talk to my lawyer. That is where we are as Christians. Talk to my lawyer. The Holy Spirit is our lawyer, and he stands with us before God. And when the devil, the accuser, goes before God and says, Doyle Williams has done thus and so, and he should be condemned. The lawyer is standing there, our lawyer is standing there beside us and says, Judge? As you can see, here is the high priest, Jesus Christ. You can see that Jesus Christ died for all the sins of the world, and this man over here is trusting him to be forgiven. And when he died, he took his sins and killed them, and then he killed the law so that law could never again accuse Doyle. And Doyle is under a different contract. He's under a different legal system than the Ten Commandments. He's under the legal system that we know as the New Testament, as the New Covenant. And sir, since he is no longer under the law of the Old Testament, there is no law to be used to accuse this man. Let him go. God says, Satan, you don't have a leg to stand on. Get out of here. Doesn't this sound fantastic? I mean, almost to the realm of saying, this can't be true. But if you will study, you will find that yes, this is true. And this is the covenant we are under. Now, so don't let this be taken away from you. God not only dismisses the case, he dismisses it with impunity, meaning that particular case can never be brought to you again. Now, that doesn't stop the constant bell ringing that we hear from Satan. And here's the reason why. Is before we become a Christian, we become so conditioned that every time, like that dog, it hears that bell ring, every time we hear a condemnation, we start beating ourselves up to the point that we will beat ourselves up over absolutely anything. Once we hear that bell ringing, we start condemning ourselves. Satan doesn't even have to come up and say, I condemn you on a legal basis. We get so conditioned to condemnation that we start heaping upon ourselves self-condemnation of stuff that has nothing to do with the law. We feel guilty because our teeth are not sparkling white. We feel guilty because we're bald-headed. Well, some of us. We feel guilty because we're not tall, because we're not good-looking. We feel guilty and we've been condemned, and it's time to stop that. Listen to what it says in the book of Isaiah, if I can find it, Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 17. This is a promise that will come straight to us, even though it's in Isaiah's writings. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, which is condemnation, thou shalt condemn it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, thus saith the Lord. What he is saying there is not an accusation that can come against you. They don't have the right, Satan doesn't have the right to accuse you. And when that accusation comes against you, you are to tell him, you are to tell that condemnation, you are wrong. You are wrong. You're stupid. You're wrong. Even if it's in your own head. You're ugly. You're wrong. You're not bright. You're wrong. You're a loser. You're not right. You're wrong. Whatever is condemning you, even if it has nothing to do in the realm of spiritual reality of the Ten Commandments, you have got to do exactly what it says and tell that condemnation, that judgment that's coming against you, you are wrong, because this is, it says, this is your heritage, the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me. Their righteousness is not based upon a law. Their righteousness is not based upon how they earned it. Their righteousness is the fact that I gave it to them. And don't let anybody tell you any different. You are to be the one to stand up to it from now on and say, I will not listen to your bell ringing, your jangling. I will not listen to you telling me that I'm stupid. I will not listen to you telling me that I'm a sinner. I will not let you condemn me, and therefore I won't approach God for his grace and his mercy. I will go before him with my lawyer, and you talk to my lawyer, and I'll talk to my father. Oh, by the way, my father is the judge. The high priest is my brother. He is my sacrifice. You don't have a leg to stand on. I don't care what it is. I am right before God, and within me is the Spirit of God that's causing me to grow in righteousness. It's not something that I have done to gain. It's not something I do to keep. It's a fact in my life that I am right before this God. Now, if you go before a judge in Alney, you're talking a whole different ballgame there. If you speed and you get a speeding ticket, you still got to go before that judge, and you still got to pay the ticket because you are under a legal system called the state of Illinois. In the life and where we live, that judgment we have to pay because it's in this world. But the spiritual world, whenever they condemn us, if Satan would come, you're a speeder. God, do you have a speeding limit in heaven? Do you have a speeding limit? Have you ever written down that we can only travel 55 by your word? No. No condemnation from him on that subject. There might be condemnation from the state of Illinois on that subject, and we have to pay for that particular transgression at this level, but we cannot have it used against us standing before God. We always have right standing. And if I can find the last part of that, Colossians, it says that he blotted out the handwriting, Ten Commandments, that was against us, which was contrary to us, which is against us, and took it out of the way. He nailed it to his cross. And then it just goes right on, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing in them, in it. Here's what this says. The one power that Satan has over us, the one thing that he could always use against humans, is you did what God told you not to do. You ate that apple. God told you not to do it. Let's go to the judge. He ate the apple and you had a law that said he's not supposed to eat the apple. He dies. Judge says, you're right, he dies. There's the Ten Commandments, God, and these Jews say that they agree with you, they accepted that contract, and look what they have done. They broke your law. They die. God says, you're right. They die based on that law. They die. Whenever that law was wiped away and was nailed to the cross, it says, having spoiled the principalities and powers, it means he took their power away from them. He took their ability, their right standing to accuse us. Therefore, they have no power over us because their one strength, Satan's one strength as a plaintiff, is always based on the law says, God, they broke your law, they broke what you told them. And whenever that law was wiped out and we were placed in Jesus Christ, God is saying, there is no law against them. You have no power over them anymore. Does that make sense? They have no power over us. The only power that's left to them is condemnation. We've been conditioned. Every time we hear those bells of condemnation, we quit praying and we hide our heads and we say, oh, I feel so bad. Oh, God, oh, I shouldn't go to church. I'm not perfect. I'm going to quit trying to be a Christian. I just give it up. Condemnation, I can't do it. That's the only power left. Is he doesn't even go before the judge anymore when you become a Christian. He just uses that conditioning that he has taught us all these years. That's why don't let the birds take it away from you. When anyone, and I don't care who it is, starts condemning you on any situation and calling you things like loser, just whatever it is, or sinner, or heathen, or God won't answer your prayer. Because we buy into that, we don't pray in faith. We need to, every time we're condemned by anybody, God does not condemn us, is what the Bible says. God does not condemn us. Who will condemn us? God is the one that justifies us. God himself never points a finger at a Christian and says, you heathen, sinner, you reprobate. He never points his finger at a Christian and condemns them. Never. Who is left to condemn us? Our own conscience, because it's been trained to condemn us. And all we have to do is hear words that, and not sometimes not even words. It's just we sit there and we walk by a mirror and we go, oh my gosh, I look awful. Oh my gosh. Oh, look, there's no sun. This is going to be a bad day. And we tell ourselves lies. It's not true because we are not condemned anymore. And any condemnation that comes our way is a lie. And we are to do what Isaiah says and tell that condemnation, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And we've had years of conditioning, so do not think that this will pass away overnight. Some people it does because it's just a miraculous thing. God says, oh, you've had enough. I'll give you the help you need. Others of us, he says, you need to uncondition yourself. You need to walk with me and I will be the one prompting you to say, deny that, it's not true. Deny that, it's not true. We need to learn to listen to those condemnations with skepticism and denial and say, you lying dog, you have nothing against me. Talk to my lawyer. I'm going to talk to my dad and I'm going to go out and enjoy this day because he's got grace, he favors me, and good things are always coming to me. That's all that's left to me, is a guarantee of good things. I was sitting there at another church Wednesday night and they was going through their prayer list and quite lengthy, and they was going, oh, have you heard brother so-and-so? And they were agreeing that this person was condemned to bad health, that person was condemned to poverty, that person, and they were just, oh yeah, they're, because in their mind they were accepting this condemnation. I really, really, really almost just popped off and said, folks, what kind of a God do you have? That is not a list of condemnation. That is a list of potential miracles for God. That's a list of things for us to pray about and then watch God and see how He deals with it so we can say, that is so cool, God. And those people was just, and I just, don't even go to those places that just sit around and condemn you and say, oh, it was a good service. He stepped all over my toes. Well, I don't like that when my toes are stepped on. I want to go to a place that tells me the truth and lets me know who I really am. Because once we buy into this and we realize who we are, we can tell Satan, hit the road, Jack. I don't have no need of you anymore. I don't need to be condemned. I was condemned when I was a child. I was condemned when I grew up. It was that condemnation that drove me into the arms of Jesus Christ. His arms were spread out. My sin was nailed to the cross. He was nailed to the cross. And that law of condemnation was nailed to the cross. All that's left to me is blue skies and good times. I will always trust in my God. And when a test comes my way, I'll look at it and say, I reject this test. You will not beat me. Because my God says it too will become a good thing to me.